This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The United States called again today for Iran to be brought before the UN Security Council over its nuclear program. Last week, Iran broke the seals on some equipment and restarted activities related to the enrichment of uranium. That move alarmed the U.S., Europe, and Russia, but as NPR's Mike Schuster reports, the world powers haven't been able to agree on what to do about it.
It's become an almost daily refrain now from the White House and the State Department. Today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice repeated that the U.S. wants Iran before the U.N. Security Council. She said the same thing yesterday after meeting with the European Union's foreign policy chief.
Iran must not be allowed to get a nuclear weapon. It must not be allowed to pursue activities that might lead to a nuclear weapon, and on that we are fully united.
Actually, it's not quite clear how united the Europeans and the U.S. are on this. Great Britain, France, and Germany, which have pursued fruitless negotiations with Iran for more than 2 years, have all said it's time for the Security Council to get involved. But there are differences on how quickly. The U.S. wants an emergency meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency, now scheduled for early February, to refer the issue immediately to the Security Council. But some European diplomats don't seem to be comfortable with moving that quickly, even though Iran broke IAEA seals at some nuclear enrichment facilities last week. Iran typically has reacted in a contradictory fashion to the pressure. Some Iranian officials say they're willing to resume talks with the Europeans. Others have said Iran will cease cooperation with the inspectors of the IAEA if the Security Council gets involved. Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, has been defiant, constantly attacking what he calls the arrogance of the West. This is definitely a political move, Ahmadinejad said on Iranian television yesterday. We advise them to discard their arrogant position. They cannot rule the world by relying on their military forces, the Iranian president said. That last comment, an apparent reference to much talk in both the U.S. and Israel about the possible use of airstrikes on Iran's nuclear sites. In a speech yesterday at Georgetown, Secretary Rice rejected Iran's oft-repeated claim that it has the right to acquire nuclear technology for peaceful purposes.
Iran stepped over a line when it broke the seals and threatened to begin enrichment and reprocessing. Nobody wants Iran to have that capability. The Iranians want to make this about their rights. This is not about their rights. It's about the ability of the international system to trust them with capabilities and technologies that could lead to a nuclear weapon. And they have a history with the IAEA of not disclosing, of covering their activities, and so no one does trust them with those technologies.
Experts are divided on how pressure might be applied on Iran. Moscow is Iran's closest partner in nuclear technology, and it has offered to enrich uranium for Iran in Russia. Mitchell Reese, former director of policy planning at the State Department, sees Russia as the linchpin in the Security Council.
If Moscow joins with the United States, France, and Britain, then it really ups the stakes for China. They don't want to be the odd man out here and be isolated. And so if Moscow can agree to refer this matter to the UN Security Council, I think that then there's a chance for success in terms of raising the pressure on Tehran.
But it's not at all clear that Moscow and Beijing, for that matter, want to see the Security Council take up the issue. Jeffrey Kemp of the Nixon Center in Washington argues that Europe is still the key.
Ultimately, Europe has to be prepared to go as far as America has if it is to be taken seriously in dealing with this very difficult problem.
Kemp believes that even if the Security Council takes up Iran's case, there is little chance all its members will agree to impose economic sanctions. Iran's oil is simply too important, especially with oil prices as high as they are. The U.S. has maintained unilateral sanctions against Iran for many years, and Kemp argues that Europe and potentially Japan ought to follow that lead, especially in withholding investment financing from Iran's energy sector.
The needs of the economy are overwhelming. Remember that Ahmadinejad argued that he should be president to A, clear up corruption, and B, to redistribute income. Well, you know, that's not going to happen unless you have economic growth. And I think this is the one area where we still have leverage.
So for the moment, no clear strategy has emerged that might convince Iran to stop its nuclear program. Mike Schuster, NPR News.